Yeah, so why don't we start where we were just starting to discuss Rust, and then you can like staple them together with that file.
Go, Tyler, go, Rust.
So Rust, you know, you would think that the armorer, Hannah Gutierrez, in that particular movie, she would have been the last one to have the weapon before she handed it to the actor.
Right.
And from everything that I've heard, she wasn't, like, or she checked it and set it back down, and then he picked it up, or I don't know the whole entire thing.
Well, the point I was going to make before I accidentally knocked the cable out and killed the recording was because of the Jason Lee's death, a lot of...
Brandon Lee.
Because that was honestly on an accident. Brandon Lee's death, a lot of safety protocols were put in place. One, there's a case in the gun. Take the case out. The armorer is the only one that touches it. Once the armorer touches it, no one else touches it until the actors do it. Two, nowadays with I'll go back to the Brandon Lee thing here in a second. Nowadays with CGI muzzle flash assets, John Wick, you never see an actual gun. It's all fake. There's no actual guns. There's recoil and all that stuff. They don't fire. It's all fake.
Unless it has to be like a close-up thing. They use like a block of plastic, right?
Pretty much. Now,
yeah, so like Brandon Lee, he died from a blank. It was a malfunctioning blank because blanks still have like stuff that come out of them.
Sort of. I'll get to that. Hang on a second. Sort of. Anyway, so if you ever see a movie and the actor's finger is on the trigger and they're walking around and their finger's on the trigger, that is a fake gun. That's a plastic gun. That is a non-firing weapon. Okay? If you see a scene where the actor's hand is outside of the trigger hold, that's probably most likely a actual firing weapon. I would hope to God there's not actual bullets in it, but...
Could that be the one thing that I'm still sort of fucking worrying about? But why was there even real fucking ammo?
Well, that's the thing, is that that wasn't real ammo. At least not when Brandon Lee died.
Right.
Brandon Lee died, it was a blank that malfunctioned. And blanks can still be dangerous just at a very, very short range, and they're much less likely to be dangerous because of like the gunpowder interaction is still a thing. We were talking about doing an active shooter training which used blank weapons. And that was a concern that was brought up. Like, blank weapons are not safe weapons. So it's very possible that Alec Baldwin had a weapon with a blank in it, and it was a malfunctioning blank ammunition.
So the thing with what's his name?
Brandon.
Now all I can think of is Jason. The weapon had fired blanks earlier in the day.
Okay.
Then the bullet was checked, the blank fired correctly, but because of earlier in the day there was still shrapnel in it, and just like Daniel said, you're still pushing out gas and there's still an explosion.
So there was bullet fragments left over from when they fired real bullets earlier in the day.
Well, real blank firing guns. They didn't clean the barrel out.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a piece of shrapnel from a blank cartridge that was used earlier that had gotten...
Which is basically what a bullet is just shrapnel.
Right.
So the safety protocol set up now is if they're using actual blank firing weapons, which I thought CGI assets pretty much wiped that out, but apparently not. The armorer takes the gun in a case, once sets it down, opens it up, he takes, say it's a six shooter. I think that's what it was on Rust. I'm not sure. Say it's a six shooter. The armorer is supposed to pull the drum out, spin it around. The director and all actors involved, everyone involved, is to look down the barrel.
Make certain there's nothing in it.
Look in the, what is it called? The drum.
Chamber, yeah.
The armorer then sets it back in the case, locks the case. Then they set the shot up. If they are using blanks, they load the gun up with the blank. The armor is to show the director and the actor, hey, I am putting one, however many, blank load one's going in, blank load two, blah, blah, blah. Puts the drum back in, and then they call hot set, which means no more fucking around. There was a live ammunition on set. Hands the gun to the actor. The actor is not to put their finger on the trigger.
Until told to.
Until told to. He is to point it down. This is why making action movies isn't as fun as it looks. But, and then everyone gets in their shot. Everyone's set up. It's a hot set. No more fucking around. No more joking around. They say action. Actor pulls the trigger up. If Tyler's to be shot, the gun comes up. The gun is not to be pointed at the actor.
It, you're supposed to do like a facsimile of it? Or like,
well, depending on... If you are a good director, you can put the camera in a certain angle that makes the barrel look like it's shot at Tyler.
Yeah, it's all a matter of playing with perspective.
You are never to point, even a blank firing weapon, you are never to point a barrel at it. And I guess Rust... Supposedly, I guess there are stories that this gun that was used... the crew members and Baldwin were shooting beer cans, supposedly just on break or whatever, and then which you're not supposed to do.
So they was fucking around.
Yeah, if a gun was used with real ammunition, it's not to be used as a blank firing weapon because of the Brandon Lee. You're not supposed to do that anymore. Supposedly that's what happened. I don't actually know. That's the story.
Okay, so the thing is, so it's sort of the same thing. Leftover debris from fucking around that previously was not cleared out, or basically made an active fire.
It was that, or I think they accidentally loaded actual ammo in it.
That I don't entirely know. Like, I hadn't heard about him going back to trial for it. Like, I heard he went to trial and they ruled it an accidental death and he was cleared of all culpability.
Right.
I don't know why they would bring him in a second time.
It's for a different. I mean, obviously he can't be tried for the same thing. But so what happened in Rust is there was the camera, there was the supposedly safety glass, the camera had a heavy duty blanket on it, and then the camera lady, which I'm not sure why she was there. Obviously, I don't work in Hollywood, but I would have thought that would have been dangerous. I would have thought she would have set up the shot.
Don't think he was supposed to fire. He was. From what I remember reading, he was supposed to pull the gun out of the holster and then he was supposed to spin it around and holster it or something. It was supposed to be like a practice on that.
Right.
Like there was not supposed to be anything in there. Like he wasn't supposed to pull the trigger anyway. And he had done it, and I guess he had pulled the trigger. And so then it ended up going off. But
right.
It was something similar to, from again what I remember reading is like it had similar qualities as what you were saying with the Texas Chainsaw Massacre. Like the crew was like from crew details, like the crew was completely overworked. Like they had to like travel like hours to the set, so like half of them just like slept on set and like no real beds or anything, so like the crew was like completely exhausted, and they were attributing a lot of that to the like because no one can remember really what happened. Right.
So the reason why there's so many strikes, like writer strike and crew member strikes, was so like if you're in a movie set, right? Say so, and then you got your guy. I don't mean to pick on Tom, not that he fucking listens, but let's say Tom Cruise, right? So he's supposed to be on set 6 a.m. He's going to film Mission Impossible 27, right? So if it's 6 a.m., the crew members, camera, lighting, electrical, grip, everything, if they're shooting at 6 a.m., you guys have to be there at 1 a.m. to make sure that it's ready to, when he walks on set, is ready to go. And I'm not picking on Tom. It could be anyone. As soon as the actors are on set, you got to be ready to go. So 6 a.m., you film all the way to midnight that night. You can't just go home. You have to now strike the set. Electrical's got to be taken down. Lighting's got to be taken down. Set's got to be taken down. Props got to be taken down. And then you got to be start right back up the next day at 6 a.m. So it means you got to be back on set.
You mean 1 a.m.?
No. Tom, they're going to start filming at 6 a.m.
Yeah, so but you means, said if Tom's there at 6, they have to be there at 1.
That's right. That's the point he's trying to get to.
So that's why a lot of these union, rightfully so, because everyone's like, oh, you're making movies. What are you complaining about? Well, these guys got it easy, not the fucking people that make these guys look good. So they in, say, the hotel, say they're shooting in a desert, Mission Impossible 27 is in a desert, the hotel's 2 hours away. If you got to be back in 45 minutes, you're not going to go, you're going to sleep in a fucking trailer. Or you're just going to collapse wherever you can collapse for 45 minutes. So, yeah, that's probably what most likely is what happened.
Yeah, so I'm read just a moment ago. Apparently, a live ammunition round got mixed in with blanks somehow.
Which, never.
Yeah, why do you even have live rounds there? Why are they present?
Should never even been on set.
Yeah.
Anyway, moving on real quick. Even though, hope to God this is going to go through. If not, I'll put it on some.
Yeah, throw another technical difficulties one.
So I want to talk about a few things. People getting hung on accident. Infamously, Brendan Fraser. Brendan Fraser in The Mummy got hung. Have you seen that movie?
I mean, yes, but I didn't know he got hung on it.
Mm-hmm.
The very first one.
Yeah, what happened there?
Well, he was in the prison, right? And they were going to hang him. And the first one didn't look good. And so they ended up doing a second. It's always the fucking second take. They did a second take, and they're like, man, he's really acting well, good. He was fucking getting hung for real.
Yeah, so his safety features weren't working?
I would assume so. That's probably what happened. Mm. Same thing with Michael J. Fox in Back to the Future 3. They're like, wow, he's acting really well. He was fucking getting hung for real. I don't know. Have you seen the movie Sinister? I know these two haven't, but have you seen the movie Sinister?
I think so.
With Ethan Hawke about the film canisters.
Yes.
Do you remember when the family's in the tree and they're all and the tree gets cut and they all get hung?
Mm-hmm.
First take, they all got hung for real.
Oh shit!
Yeah, they had to run in and just snap all the ropes really quick. That stunt coordinator got fired.
Good.
Yeah.
That source of that story is the audio commentary. The director was pissed because he takes his movies safety on his movies really serious because he does a lot of kind of dangerous stuff like that, so he was pissed that happened.
That was kids too, right?
The characters were kids. I don't know if the actual actors were kids. I'm sure they were probably at least 18.
Alright, so I think if I was a director, like, knowing that this is even possible with the safety coordinator, I'm creating a hand signal. Because in the event that, like, you are being hung, you can't really speak. And the whole point is to make it believable, right, for the movie. I would create, like, a hand signal, like a tap out or, like, a...
Do the okay, because...
Yeah, I'm good.
The one thing you're not going to do, like, oh, wow, he's really acting. No, do the... Oh, yeah, okay, fuck, he's not okay.
Yeah, right, like, come up with some sort of hand signal... To be like, no, shit gone south, come help me, you know.
Yeah, well, as far as the hand signal thing goes in Sinister, their hands were tied to behind their back.
Well, I get that, but you can shoot it in such a way that, like, you can make it look like they're tied without actually being tied.
Go ahead.
What? Like you can in movies, instead of having somebody just taped to a chair for 27 fucking hours.
Right. Or you have someone who's off camera standing behind them who can see their hands, you know.
Okay, next.
I think the stunt thing is like there's a harness. If you take your shirt off, there's a harness, and then there's a big steel rod that goes up your back and the back of your neck. It's like a hook. So when you put the noose on, you're supposed to tie the noose is to go through the hook. So theoretically, your harness, your chest takes all the lifting. But I don't know what happened in Brendan Fraser's case. I do know in the Michael J. Fox case, due to Zemeckis, it slipped through the hook and literally became an actual noose. So I don't think they really do hangs anymore because it happens too often
for comfort.
Right. Real quick, other things we want to talk about just. Part of this curse movies were films where actors died. We talked about Brandon Lee.
Wait a minute. So I just kind of put it together. We're talking about cursed movies and productions.
Oh,
and
God.
We may have lost the entire first half of this episode. First three quarters of this episode.
What was that?
What you mean what was that?
What was that noise you just made?
I didn't do anything.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, stop being crazy, Adam.
Yeah, I didn't hear anything.
What's wrong with you?
We talked about The Crow.
I feel like we've been in this room for 27 hours.
We talked about The Crow and Brandon Lee. God damn it. The Imaginarium of Dr. Parnassus. Heath Ledger passed away. So the role was completed by three actors, Johnny Depp, Jude Law, and Colin Farrell.
That is a trippy movie.
I know Tyler's seen it. Does it make sense within the movie, or is it just like you have to know that what's his face, Heath Ledger, died to know why he changed his face, or is it just...
No, I mean, they kind of... They explain it away. I would have liked to have known what the original story was. So clear, they filmed all of Heath... So there's the real world, and there's where you go inside this Imaginarium type place where reality doesn't matter. And every time he steps inside, his face changes. And it makes sense for the story, but you're kind of like, okay. Like, it makes way more sense putting it together that, okay, that's why they changed it. But I would have liked to have known what the original plot was when he went inside. He gets hung in that movie.
Does he?
Yeah.
I don't think anything bad happens.
But. Yeah, well, that's the thing, because part of the plot line is he's done this multiple times, faked himself dying from getting hung by putting something in his windpipe to keep his throat from closing.
An actual windpipe.
Yeah.
He puts a windpipe in his windpipe, and that's what keeps it from being crushed.
And the trick is he loses that windpipe because somebody grifts it off him.
Gotcha. All right. Game of Death. We talked about Bruce Lee's passing. The final film, Game of Death, was incomplete. So they used stock footage from Enter the Dragon to finish the movie. Supposedly.
That's the one where he's going up the tower, right?
That's the one with the yellow suit. The famous yellow suit.
I think so, yeah. So what actually ended up killing Bruce Lee? Because that I don't know. I just know he died on set from complications.
Well, no, he went to the hospital in a coma, right? And he never woke up.
Yeah, it was something to do with, like...
I don't know.
Like, I know he had, like, broken his back during Enter the Dragon? Mark of the Dragon? One of the Dragon movies, I think he broke his back and, like...
Double Dragon.
And...
What?
Had a lot of, like, pain associated with that. And I was thinking that it was, like, some sort of complication from painkillers, but I don't think it was abuse. I think it was just, like, something along those lines, but I've never been 100% sure on that one.
Supposedly the fans don't... They appreciate that the film was finally done, but it's not good.
Yeah, I can imagine that.
He is found unconscious. And he was found dead on arrival at the hospital for... Due to cerebral edema or swelling of the brain, through several theories that emerged over the years, it was a drug complication.
Okay. That's where I'm getting the medicine complication.
Shrek, all the dialogue was originally recorded by Chris Farley. And after his passing, they did Mike Myers.
They've recently found the test footage with Chris Farley's voice, and everyone's like, it's much better the way that it...
Well, so if they had all of it shot already, why did they recast him?
Well, they didn't have it all shot.
Oh, okay.
They had like 99% done, and there's like a few things where I think they was going to ask.
They wanted Mike Myers to come in and like try and mimic his voice and finish it off. And he's like, no, I don't want to do that.
So they redid all that recording. Then they did an all recording of Mike Myers in his normal voice, and Mike's like, hey, can I try something? So then they re-recorded the whole fucking movie with the, what was it, Irish?
Scottish
accent.
I don't know if this counts as, I guess this would be almost cursed, Toy Story 2.
Oh, yeah.
Toy Story 2 was like completely done, and I guess someone at Pixar accidentally deleted the entire thing. But luckily, there was someone that was working on it
Brought it home. Yeah.
And, like, they brought it home and, like, they saved it. So, like, I guess that would be, like, semi-cursed.
So, we were going to fire you for bringing that home. We told you not to bring it home, but you know what?
You saved our ass.
You're still fired, though.
Yeah.
He had character models for the movie at home. So, they lost everything they did with them, but they didn't have to make the character model again. And that was, like... 20% of what you needed to make the movie.
Is that one any good, though?
Oh, yeah. It's one of the best ones.
Is that the best one? I'm asking. I don't know. I've seen the first one a million times that I don't like watching anymore. And I know I've seen the second one, but I can't recall fucking thing.
The second one, that's the one with...
you get Woody's origin story.
Yeah, where you get, like, the prospector, and that's got the girl cowboy in it.
Jesse.
Jesse, yeah.
Well, which was the Hitler burning him in a Holocaust one?
The third one. But it goes to show how good it was, because it went straight to VHS, but it was so good, they released it in theaters later.
Oh, I believe you.
Yeah, so it's like the opposite of the Disney straight to VHS.
So the last thing is before we end this episode, which may is going to be a short one. What are your thoughts on deep fakes being super popular now? What are your thoughts on deep faking a dead celebrity, or say a celebrity gets hurt and Tom Cruise gets hurt doing a stunt, and they're like, oh, we got like 20% more stuff. What do you think?
If the guy's alive and he okays it, I think I'm fine with it. Like, I can't do this. It's going to be 3 years before I'm able to do this. Okay, deep fake me. If it's a guy that just passed, kind of let him lie, dude.
Well, I think it kind of matters, like, what the estate thinks about it. Like, you definitely have to get permission from the estate. Because, like, the one that I think about is Spartacus from Starz. The first season of Spartacus was absolutely brilliant. It was fantastic. And then the actor got diagnosed with skin cancer.
Right.
So they shot season 2, which was a prequel season, because they could shoot it without him. So they did that. And then weeks before season 3 started, the dude died. And they recast him, right? And they just didn't have any other option. And I don't know if that's the right thing to do, given, like, there are plenty of aspiring actors out there. I definitely think you need the estate permission. I would say it would have to be used very sparingly, and you would have to use it, like, with some sort of extraneous circumstances. Like, in the event of, like, say, Chadwick Boseman, who passed away from complications of cancer. I think the movie that we got that was Black Panther 2 was more genuine and more heartfelt to his passing than if they CGI'd him into the movie and made a full Black Panther 2 with Chadwick Boseman, you know? Even if the state did sign off on it. So I think it'd be one of those things where it'd have to be, the movie is almost done, dude has serious problems, and we can't complete it, and like the movie's gonna be scrapped for whatever reason. Like, I think then maybe you can explain it or justify it, but it is such a messy topic when you're talking about like AI generated faces and stuff.
So what do you think about the Luke Skywalker in The Mandalorian? I mean, you have an actor, the body of an actor portraying him, just not his face. They're making a Mark Hamill mask, basically. So should they have just cast someone that looks as close to young Mark Hamill? Or,
well, I had assumed, and I guess I don't know for sure, but I had assumed that was Mark Hamill wearing a green screen face.
No, it was an actor.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Did they get his permission?
I would 100% sure they had to.
Yeah, like if it's like it's the consent thing for me.
Well, I don't think it's... I mean, consent's definitely a big part of that. To me, it's... If you want to use Mark Hamill, then you should fucking use Mark Hamill. Especially if he's around. It'd be a different story if Mark Hamill was dead and the estate approved it. I think in that instance, I would recast him. And I legitimately thought in that scene that was Mark Hamill wearing a green screen face, and that they put his young face on top of it, or deep faked a young face on top of him.
Because that's what they essentially did in Tron Legacy, didn't they? Like, they had the original actor basically CGI'd to hell, but it was him.
Well, yes. that's de-aging. That's a different...
Yeah, that's technology. What I thought they did.
No.
Okay.
So, I don't... Take the legal matters out of the argument. I'm not sure where I stand. Because there's definitely legal issues, but let's just speak from an artistic point of view. I'm not sure where I stand, because let's say... Like, Robert Downey Jr., right, as Iron Man. Let's say we love him or hate him or whatever. Love those movies, hate those movies, whatever. He's got... Robert Downey Jr. yes, a ton of people can do sarcastic wit and snappy dialogue, but can his timing be emulated? Like, yeah, people can do his lines, maybe funnier, but like, he's only Robert Downey Jr. can do, like, the way he spins his head, and he's got minute movements of his eyebrows that, like, and you could apply this to anyone. I just picked Robert Downey. You could literally apply this to anyone.
Right.
I just picked to, so like, I don't have any, I don't know where I stand. I think it sucks if, like, cause you, man, we really want, let's say Robert Downey Jr. dies and we knew Iron Man, like, we really want him in there, but can you deep fake him well? Cause an actor can bounce off of something that as good as a computer technician is, can't bounce off of it the way Robert Downey Jr. can.
So I'll tell you the only time I think it's appropriate, and the only time that I can think of that where, like, something like that was done well, and that was Ghostbusters Afterlife, with what they did with Harold Ramis.
Right.
That was respectful. It was done tastefully. It was done appropriately. And it was used to say goodbye to someone that the franchise never had the opportunity to say goodbye to. So, like, if that's the intent, I'm okay with that. Like, in Wakanda Forever, I don't think you ever actually see Chadwick Boseman in Wakanda Forever, but if they had done, like, a hologram or, like, an AI version of his voice speaking one final goodbye, or like, you saw some artificially created pictures or something like that, then maybe that's appropriate. But overall, I think I agree with Cody for the most part, which is, you know, I'm sorry for the unfortunate passing. Say goodbye, and let's give some of these other actors a chance to do their thing. Yeah. You know?
And, like, don't get me wrong.
I'll get you wrong if I want to.
You would love to see him again, but that's nostalgia talking. Nostalgia is great and wonder and all that, but that's part of our current problem as it is. We keep looking back to the past, I think, too often. We're not coming up with newer ideas. We're just going with what works, and that's just the next level of it.
Well, and I should clarify that my opinion on that is solely for commercial sake. Because I feel differently about, what was it, what Kanye had AI created for, what her name, Kardashian's dad, for as a gift or something like that. You guys know what I'm talking about?
Yeah.
He created, like, so, I apologize because I don't know which actors are married to each other. But I think it's Kanye West and one of the Kardashian girls.
Kim Kardashian were married.
Robert Kardashian?
Yeah, like,
he passed away.
Yeah, because Kanye West created an AI hologram or CGI of her dad and had an AI specialist put his voice together and was able to create this meaningful message.
All I'm thinking is he's saying Kanye's the fucking coolest.
No, all I can think of, and I'm not trying to laugh, is the Marlon Brando Jor-El from Superman. That's all I'm thinking of.
Right. So, like, I think in those kind of situations where, like, it's obviously right. Well, it's also for private use. You know, like, he's not going to go out and sell it. This is an artist creating digital art. And I think that is entirely acceptable for you to use that commercially as an artist. Now, I don't think, my opinion changes when you talk about using it commercially to create media. You know, if you are creating something for someone to, I guess, to consume versus like a specialized, personalized project, you know.
The only thing I really know is that, so Disney released like an 8-minute short where it's like almost all of their characters.
Yeah, yeah.
And, you know, they all come out of, they get like as many of, you know, they steal snippets of from all these movies. Well, they had Robin Williams as the genie. And people were all throwing a fit and they're like, well, they're using AI. And the family's like, no, one, we gave our permission. And two, they're using some of the 500 hours of unused footage from all of his movies. I mean, that's the only real thing that I know about AI and all that stuff. I know that's a huge issue, you know, like all the extras being, you know, if I think it's like if you're an extra and like your likeness has been filmed, then they can use, I thought that was something they were trying to do, like they were, you can, they can use your likeness.
Yeah, I mean, read your contracts for those kind of things, you know. Yeah. And I think that's acceptable. Even if they had used AI to recreate Robin Williams with the family's permission and it's just a little snippet cameo, I think that's acceptable. I think that's fine.
It's not like they're making Aladdin 4 now starring the AI voice of Robin Williams.
Right, exactly.
Like that, like I think that's like a hard line needs to be linked because I don't want to go see Mrs. Doubtfire 2 now starring the AI construct of our maid, Robin Williams.
Miss Doubtfire 2, Cruise Control.
I thought you said Miss Doubtfire 2, Bruce Campbell.
Right.
Oh, like, yeah. I'd see that. Yeah.
And I had another Secret thing of I was going to say about that.
I didn't.
The talk about the...
Are you pausing for dramatic effect?
No, I forgot what I was going to say.
Did I mess you up?
No, yes, they did talk Cody. About Mrs. Doubtfire.
Gotcha. Like, it's just...
Hello!
And there's people's legitimate fears about AI being used to take jobs. Like, to what degree it'll ever happen is yet to be determined yet, but if you could deepfake everything, what's the point of giving a new actor a chance when you have all these tried true presidents that are known throughout history?
I wish an AI would take my job.
Right, and I realized what I was going to say when we were talking about, like, the Mrs. Doubtfire being recreated or whatever. It's the movie that was they were trying to do with James Dean. They were trying to make, like, Rebel Without a Cause 2 all
that
James, fucking, like, AI James Dean.
That went down, and they're not even doing it no more, are they?
It's been in development hell for the last
think it's going anywhere.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know, like, it's...
Sorry.
It's messy. It's real messy. Until the rules are further defined, I think it just needs to be left alone.
Until our AI overlords come and tell us exactly what they're supposed to do.
Right. All right.
Get to the job.
Speaking of telling you exactly what to do, you've been listening to The Ridge, a podcast.
Hopefully the whole episode.
Right. Hopefully a whole It'll episode of The Ridge.
Let's be honest. You'll put it up in two fucking parts.
He edited the disclaimer in.
I did.
Really?
Yeah, on our sex podcast. He edited the disclaimer in.
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah, that sounded really good too. Sometimes I just listen to the disclaimer. Whoever that AI voice that we got for the disclaimer has a real sexy voice.
Thank you.
Yeah. Anyway, so you've been listening to hopefully The Ridge and not the Technical Difficulties podcast. We'll find out here in a couple of weeks which one it will be.
And if we have lost this episode, we promise we might not do a repeat of it.
Ooh, I got an idea. If we lost this episode, I just want to have Adam sitting there and doing all the parts for everybody. Adam would read a line and be like, "Oh my god, that's amazing."
And then Daniel does the calculations and find out it's less than 1% of efficiency, and then Tyler quits back and like, but in this timeline.
Oh yeah, there's no way I'm going to be able to recreate
that
math.
That was the only compliment you gave me on a podcast too.
That was, yeah, that was actually funny, yeah. All right, anyway, so you've been listening to The Ridge or Technical Difficulties, we'll find out, podcast by Damage Control Podcasting. Make sure you like, comment, and subscribe. These are things that you should be doing right now. And you can find out new episodes every Monday on YouTube, SoundCloud, and Apple Podcasting. Make sure you check out our meager social media presence. At Facebook, on Instagram, and on Twitter. And again, if you haven't liked, commented, and subscribed, are you really a fan?
Is it Twitter again?
Yeah. No, it's still X.
Okay.
Yeah, you're right.
I
should be saying X.
Oh, no, I'm just asking.
No, that's fair.
I find it funny that we were talking about AI when like 90% of everyone that listens to it is probably a bot.
That is true. Anyone who is not Cody's mom is a bot. That's for sure. All right. So thank you so much for listening. Adam, push the button.